Welcome to The Aesthetic Report, a podcast for skincare professionals who want to grow in their careers by hearing directly from the individuals who have been there, done that, and are paving the future of their industry. Join us for the latest in all things skincare, beauty, wellness, business, and more. From interviews with leading experts to the burning topics on your mind, The Aesthetic Report starts now.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to The Aesthetic Report, a podcast by Dermascope. I am your host, AIA President and Director of Education, Michelle Diallard-Brenner. And as I always say, I am honestly thrilled and honored to be here with everybody today. I love the opportunity for all of us to connect together, to learn, to grow, and to build as a big aesthetic family out there. I'm super excited. Our second episode of the season, and this is really an exciting time to launch something a little bit different. But we've got a great episode with two new co-hosts. We have Elizabeth Brazier and Lauren Farmer, joined by Dorian Reyes, our on-air producer. And these ladies are going to spend some time connecting with you and looking at finding your specialty and your niche in the market. So today's episode is going to really provide some insight, some conversation into, you know, how do I find that? What do I do? What makes me unique and what makes me special? One of the things we also found on that note and through conversations about this is we hear from a lot of our new estheticians and our new estheticians just coming out of school is, how do I get into a specialty treatment or finding something different, finding something unique? I didn't learn these things in school and I'm frustrated and I can't figure out, you know, what is my scope of practice? What isn't my scope of practice? And why do I not understand how to do this? And I wanted to add some insight before the ladies got started, just to say, after having over 30 years experience in the business, I completely understand the frustration because our industry changes every single day. And honestly, if you don't keep up on what's new, what's hot, and what's trendy, it's really often a challenge. But one bit of advice that I really want to give to all of our new Estes that are out there is that you've got to remember that to perfect your specialty treatments, to grow and to advance, your solid core education is absolutely essential. If you can't do a skin analysis and a consultation blindfolded almost, obviously you can't, but you know where I'm going with this. If you don't understand the core concepts of the skin and the physiology and how it works, if you don't understand your foundation of your skin conditions, your disorders, your diseases, even just your what you see every day, acne, skin sensitivity, rosacea, hyperpigmentation, those things, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to have that solid understanding of your basic education that never, ever changes in order to get to the point down the road to capitalize on that and to really be superior with advanced treatments and specialties. Because you can't go out there treating acne if you don't understand the physiology of the skin, if you don't understand the physiology of acne, and if you don't understand product ingredients. So take a breath. Don't stress yourself out. Go back to your basics because it's your basics that are always going to get you further down the road. You can't know everything. Time will allow you to do that. And I promise you, it all builds on what you learned in that core aesthetics program. So that's my bit of advice. And I am going to sit back, listen along with all of you. I'm super excited. And I'm going to pass the baton over to Elizabeth and Lauren. Ladies, take it away.
Just like get really close to the microphone. No, I'm kidding. That's what
I'm... Hello, guys. I'll just talk really loud.
Not in the spa voice, right?
No, not today. Not today.
There's a spa voice? I've never heard of a
You've
spa
never heard
voice.
That? Yes, because yeah, I tell yeah. people, I'm like, I cannot project well because I'm so used to talking softly.
Yeah.
And not really like enunciating. With the mask, it definitely was interesting because I was like having to scream whisper at people.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I can't hear you. I'm like, are you feeling okay? Yes. Okay.
So, okay. Can you say something in the spa voice, but that you normally wouldn't say in the spa. Like, I'm trying to think of the thing. Like,
I'm thinking of just like what I would say normally at work, but then like what I would be out doing. Cause it still comes out. Like, cause even Michael's like, and he's partially deaf anyway. So this is not a good mixture. How we've gotten through 10 years together, I don't know, but.
Oh, so you guys have been like together almost as long as you've been licensed.
Oh yeah. I was not midway through my aesthetics program, but kind of right on the tail end when we met, like when we went on our first date. And I was like, I'm super busy. I can't date right now. But he was pretty much persistent. He was like, no, this is happening.
He's like, yeah, I don't care if you're busy.
Yeah. Wow. I was like, but I'm going to go work and be busy and have a career and like whatever.
Mm-hmm. And remind me, Lauren, how long have you been licensed?
Since 2008.
Okay.
Long time.
A respectable amount. You're seasoned. You're like, oh, I know it all. I'm going to do it all too.
I mean,
I know.
When I met my husband, I just told him, I was like, my career is like my number one thing right now. I'm not going to stay at home. I don't want to be a stay-at-home mom. I work. I'm trying to build something.
I know. Michael's like, oh, wouldn't it be great if like I made enough money, you could stay home? I'm like, no, that sounds terrible.
I know. That's what I said too. I was like, no, I'm going to have a balance. I'm going to be a mommy and work.
I'm like, I need my time. I know. I am an esthetician / wife / mother. Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. I don't know. I was talking to my husband that I'm like, someone could have told me that I could have gone to school and then just started a career rather than mess around with college and then do really odd jobs until I found something that was within that career. Why doesn't everybody do that?
I know. I mean, we talked about that on the live interview. Like, it was just, nobody even discussed that this was remotely an option. It was kind of like, if you didn't do well in school and you were kind of one of the bad girls or whatever, you took the cosmetology program and like you got out of school early and you went to smoke cigarettes. Yeah. That was the whole vibe. It was totally the vibe. And so I was like, well, I don't want any part of that. Like, I was such a good kid. I was like, oh no.
It's like a stigma that it's like, oh, well, you couldn't hack it in academia.
I remember people telling me, they were like, you're not going to do anything with this. You're not going to make any money. What is this? What is an esthetician? You know, it's crazy.
I think I still get that question. They're like, what isn't it? Not as much as I used to.
I feel like people know more now.
They know now.
Like, they didn't.
Thank God for Instagram and TikTok, because they're like, I know what that is now. I still can't say it, but I know what it is now.
I know, Elizabeth, that you're dedicating a little bit more time to Instagram as of lately. How has that been going? Is it more time than you anticipated? Or is it, you're like, actually?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm still not great at making a bunch of content and then having it go out. I kind of do it more on the fly.
Same.
And I don't know. Everybody's like, oh, be authentic. And I feel like that is authentic because I am like a procrastinator. So I do my best work under pressure. And then pictures and stuff that I had saved that I hadn't posted or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I've missed a couple of days here and there, but it hasn't fallen off too bad. And then I'm trying to get into the reels a little bit.
Yeah, I haven't even dabbled in that.
The editing is pain in the ass. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
It's just so much to try to keep up with all of this stuff. I feel like I kind of had like a breakdown with my husband last week. So I was like, this is just so much. Cause I feel like when I'm here, I'm like trying to focus on my clients, but yet in my head, I'm like, oh, did I take a picture? Did I take a video? Cause I've got to post something on Instagram. And then when I leave here, I'm in like mom mode. I'm not going to be with my kids and like on my phone 24/7, trying to find that separating like balance is so hard. Like, I feel like sometimes it just gets so overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of social media, speaking of Haley and you know, that it is its own specialty. I feel like now, of course you have your license and of course you're working on your skills for clients. But if you are a esthetician that dabbles more in social media, like its own specialty, you know, there's people who do their own consulting. There's people who even will not sell their artwork, but buy templates off them and just like work.
I was even talking to somebody the other day who was doing like portraits and things like that. And I was asking them, you know, how much it was to get something made that I could use for a few different things. And It was still $60, but I was like, you know, for custom artwork, basically, you know, I'm like, I went to art school. I understand. All right. Like, I'm not going to throw shade. I'd be like, I could do that myself, you know.
But it's time. You just need to buy something and keep going.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's how we got our aesthetic report artwork, actually. We commissioned an artist and recreated an old cover from April of 2020, I believe. And we always get so much good feedback. I love our cover. It's just, it makes me like, she looks so happy and crisp. And I'm like, I wish I could wash my face and look that happy.
Splash.
Yeah. Splash from like the Neutrogena commercials.
Yes.
But speaking of, okay, so specialties. What would you guys say your specialty is? Like when someone goes up, I guess a baby ST, if they're like, what is it when we think of Lauren and Elizabeth? What is it?
So I definitely would say mine is that clinical with the holistic aspect, because I don't necessarily treat one type of skin only. I've really gotten into treating all skin of colors, age management, pigmentation, and then especially a lot of like medical, like challenge skin, you know, ones that people are like, no one else can help me. No one else can seem to find the answer. This is kind of my last resort. I seem to get a lot of those clients. And I think it's just that magnetism. I'm like, I love a challenge. So come and find me and we'll figure it out. And then I hit that skin, you know, from the whole aspect, the inside out, upside down.
That's really just like the blended, like that's the umbrella, like blended aesthetics.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
What about you, Lauren?
I think for me, I've really tried to focus on, because I do more of a spa setting. So I am going to do more of like your facials, not so much med spa, because I'm not a med spa and I don't work in a med spa, even though I do some medical type treatments. But I try to, and I've always tried to make my facials separate. Like when people come to me, most of my new clients are always like, your facials are so different than other facials I've had, because I make my facials more of a medical facial. All of my facials are like an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half, some are even like 2 hours long. And then with that, pairing them with my products that are private labeled are different, because it's something that you cannot get at the salon suite next door or the salon down the street. It's just very different. So I've tried to kind of make that my specialty, that somebody can come in here and get a facial that they are not going to get anywhere else. I want it to be something like very exclusive. Yeah, very exclusive. Getting the blush and beauty facial.
I mean, that's awesome, you know, because that's true. Like you're selling obviously an experience, but you're also selling results. And
yes,
people come to because they can't find it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess, did your specialties find you, or did you kind of know when you first started, you saw the different aspects and you're like, I want to try that, or how did that happen?
I definitely didn't have a structured plan when I got into this industry. I really don't think there was much of one going in. It was like, you go in, you maybe do some facials, you maybe do some eyebrow waxing, maybe you'll do intimate wax if you really want to get crazy, you know, and that was about it. But then going in, it was like this, I don't know if it was me finding more stuff or the actual like industry was blossoming all during that time. I think it was a little of both. And so it was like, I kind of grew with it, but also everything was like shiny syndrome. So everything looked new. Everything looked fresh. I was like, I have to try that. And I have to try that. And I have to try that. So I'm literally like the queen of being certified in so many things that I don't even offer now because I want to try it. I want to test it. I want to know how to do it. Even if I never actually practice it, it's like, I have experience with this. So I could tell you from a fundamental standpoint, what is going to happen with it. And I offer that a lot to my clients. It's like, here's what this might look like for you, or this might be a good option for you.
I'm sure they appreciate that.
Yeah. I call it my Rolodex. Like I'll have like a network of people with stuff I don't offer, but I know it's a great service to send them to. But that's that holistic aspect. You know, people think of like chakras and alignment and whatever, and that's a really nice other portion, I guess, but it's more about treating that whole. So if they have a problem and you get to XYZ, but they're still having A, then you may need to reach out to somebody else. And I guess you could call it wellness. A lot of people call it wellness. So it's like wellness. Whole wellness. Yes. Just wellness. Just that, yeah, like you said, that umbrella.
The umbrella of just, I'm well.
Mm-hmm. I'm well. I am well. I am healthy. Vibes. Yes.
Vibes. I'm also here for just vibes, I will say.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely had the windy road of finding where I was to align in the industry. Because like I started out in a day spa, learned everything that I could, just got really good at doing treatments and like talking to clients and like understanding their needs. But I definitely felt drawn to having that clinical aspect because people were like, you know so much, you have all the verbiage, like why aren't you in a dermatology office? I don't know how many times I got that question. And I was like, well, why am I not? You know, I was like, but I'm not a dermatologist. But I winded around to like going from that to helping instruct at a permanent makeup school that also taught like electrolysis and a few other like advanced courses and learned all of those. And then ended up in a med spa, loved that. And then back in like a day spa clinical, like hybrid. And it was more day spa than clinical. And so I was like, I still went more clinical, but like still have that wellness, you know, healing approach. And then ended up in my last spot where they were really, that was what they did. And I was like, this is kind of where I can flourish everything that I've learned up to this point. And then they kind of just let me loose and they're like, do whatever you want.
Which is nice.
Which I'm totally about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have confidence in you and you always want people that you're working for to be like, yeah, we trust what you're doing.
Yes.
And okay. So Lauren, how did you find your specialty?
So mine's a lot like Elizabeth's. So I started in a day spa, learned a lot, and then I went from there and I actually was a sales consultant. I was an inside sales consultant for a med spa. So I was like in my early 20s from there. And my whole goal was like, I'm going to spend my first kind of years out of aesthetic school trying to figure out like which path I want to take in this industry. So I had kind of already dabbled in the day spa, had learned facials, waxing, tinting, the normal spa stuff. And then I went and was like, I'm going to be a sales consultant because I figured I could learn a lot about lasers, Botox, filler. Of course, then I had to try a lot of these things because I was in my early 20s and I'm like, I know nothing about this. These women are looking at me like, you don't need Botox. And I'm like, well, I probably should try it. So here I am dabbling in all this stuff.
You were doing baby Botox before it was a trend. That's awesome.
I was. Yeah, it was good. It was fun. I mean, I did kind of got to a point that I was like, probably should hold off on that. But I think that taught me a lot because I went from there to then a waxing center. So I was like, I'm going to learn a little bit more of this, like,
that's a big switch.
Yes, I don't, you know, I was kind of all over the place. I was like, before I figure out what exactly I want to do, because I knew that my end goal was to open my own spot. I wanted, kind of like you said, like free range of being able to do what I want to do and make the decisions for myself and for my clients. So I wanted to be the best I could at everything. I wanted to know everything there was to be, you know, med spa wise. I wanted to know everything on the hair removal. So I did that. And then from there, then I went on back into a more of a day spa type setting and worked with some great ladies for a few years until I was finally ready that I felt like, okay, I have kind of found my specialties and what I want to do. And I had it down to like a T of like, okay, I now have like 7-8 years experience under my belt. I've worked at all these different places. I've gained all this knowledge. And then when I was able to finally go out on my own, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. But, you know, it took all of those years experience and kind of bouncing around a few different places. But I think that that's good. I think that that's good for young estheticians. And especially before I had children and before I had a family, I could kind of do those things. And I always felt like I didn't miss out on anything. I didn't miss out on like the med spa experience or the waxing centers or this or that. I kind of had a little bit of like everything. So I was like 100% confident going out on my own saying, this is what I'm going to do. And this is what I'm going to make the best of the best.
You just did the damn thing. Honestly.
Yeah, basically. But that's how I am. I just kind of work like that. So
that's great. I mean, I didn't know that you had a sales background like that.
I did.
You know,
mm-hmm. I worked like 2.5 years and inside sales consulting for a med spa.
Wow. Yeah, that's something you should definitely like capitalize on.
I know.
It's easy for me when I'm one-on-one with people. They should feel 100% confident when I'm talking to them. Like I've kind of turned that sales experience into a way to make them feel 100% confident that like what I choose for them, product or service wise, is going to be the best for them.
I'm just thinking in terms of for other estheticians, because that's mm-hmm. kind of a question that we just always get. We're younger and new estheticians yes. are always like, I just don't know how to sell, or they only know how to sell to do it pushy, which I yeah. think, yeah, naturally that's how you're just like, you're going to buy this. You're going to
yeah.
love it.
Yeah. yeah. And I, you know, you've had the client come in, they're like, I don't want to buy anything. Okay. Don't even yeah. talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't just
look at my face.
Just do my facial and let me out of this room. Yeah. Cause they just had such horrible experiences with that. But yeah, I mean, I'm married to a salesman and he taught me so much, just like listening to him and him training like other salespeople. I picked up so much. Like I went to the retail classes and like I could break down the product, you know, and I would definitely have the client like looking glazed by the end of it. Cause I was like, let me tell you the science and like how it works and whatever. And they're just sitting there like, I don't care. Is it going to work? Like, do I need it?
Just tell me.
Just tell me. Yeah. That's pretty much where I've got to now. You need this product. It's just, you've got this, you need this. And they're like, okay, fine.
Lauren, is it more like you think of it as just like you're having a conversation?
It should just be like a natural kind of flowy. It shouldn't be like, oh, here's this product. Here's like 10 products. Let me put them all down in your face. You know, there's a way to go about it and do it where it's more of a suggestion, but it's a strong suggestion, but it's not a pushy, you know, like there's just a different way of doing it. I feel
And talking to them and talking about their skin. I mean, you understand mm-hmm. where their thinking is and
yeah.
where their concerns are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they'll tell you sometimes in a very roundabout way what they're looking for. And you're like, okay, well, you mentioned a moisturizer, so let's go ahead and look at one of those. But, you know, you're also dealing with this, so this is a really good, like, combination together. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, okay, cool.
Okay,
like,
sure.
Yeah.
Now that skincare has kind of become more mainstream, like, for me, I feel like it was the pandemic that people were just, like, with themselves. And they're like, what should I do? And then I feel like a lot of people were like, okay, well, skincare looks fun and luxurious, and I'm going to make it my hobby. So I feel like now mm-hmm. people are more aware of not just the basics of just, like, wash-off products and moisturizer. Like, more people know what serums are. Yes. More people are yes. aware that you need SPF if they're wearing
it. That was a little, like, a blessing in disguise, because having to explain to people why they needed a serum step... Yeah. they were like, I don't understand. Like cleansing, moisturize, like yeah. that was yeah. it, you know? And I'm like, no, serums, it's a specialty product. And they're like, okay, yeah, whatever.
Well, I don't use special yeah. product.
Yeah.
I know. I still get clients that are like, a serum? Why do I need a serum?
Like, oh, you need a serum. Everybody needs a serum.
And that's why I use the phrase targeted treatment. And so
that's good yeah. one. Yeah.
Do you guys get those questions as like, oh, well, do you have a recommended like drugstore product mm-hmm. like yeah. this? And you're like, well, there's nothing that's going to be.
I always tell them, nope. I always tell them my products are priced at about the same price that you could run up to Target because of where I'm located. I was like, but you're going to get professional. You know, I almost just don't even give it like a choice. I'm like, no, because if you're going to come in here and spend this money to do your facials and to treat your skin, then the products have to match that or you're not going to get the best results. And I almost just have to make it like there is no other option, really.
Yeah, I mean, if they come in and they are using something that I know is not upsetting their skin and it seems to be doing fine, I'll let them keep that. But I need something that's really yeah. focused on whatever issue that they're having, I'm like, okay, but you do need this. You can keep your cleanser, your moisturizer, whatever it is. I was like, but you need this exfoliant or this treatment or something to really kind of get us to the next level. And I think sometimes they appreciate that. Or I have had a few, like, because we're pretty close to a college here. And so I do get some college students.
For you guys listening, that's UT Dallas. That
yes.
is very close.
UT Dallas, yeah.
We all love UT Dallas.
So I do get quite a few students and they're just like, my budget is X. And like, there is no
which is true.
Push or
true.
Pull there. And I'm like, okay, listen, we're going to work in with it. And we may only work in a couple of, it may be treatments that they're really, really needing. Or sometimes I'm like, you're going to have to spend that budget mainly on your home care, which is going to be this. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to back off of treatments, you know, and maybe push them to every other month or something. So it can be that. Retirees, same thing. But if there truly is a drugstore product, I mean, I will honestly say, like, I went to the pharmacy yesterday just to pick up a couple of things, and I was really shocked at some of the pricing. Even just a body lotion was like $15, which still isn't terrible, but it was more than I was expecting, I will say.
Yeah.
Just because it's been a while since I walked the aisles. And sometimes you need to do that just to know what's out there. And just curiosity got the best of me. I was like, oh, I wonder. It's like, dang. I mean, the price of everything has gone up, but.
But with skincare, you know, there's a demand. There's a demand now.
And they know it. And they know it. And it wasn't even like it was anything specific. It was literally just like a bread and butter, like body lotion. That was
just something basic.
Want all of the latest in aesthetic education in one easy spot? Dermascope's Esti exclusive e-newsletter is the perfect place for estheticians to get the latest trending articles, product giveaways, upcoming webinars, announcements, and more. All in one place, your inbox. Whether you're looking to catch up on new trends, seeking spa business tips from the professionals who know it best, or looking to score some fresh loot, the Esti exclusive has your back. Never miss the chance for free continuing education from the Authority on Professional Skincare. Visit bit.ly/SD exclusive to sign up today.
Well, they know where to get us. Well, not us, but they know where to get other people who don't know better. All right. Well, this second portion we're going to do so. Me and my other producer, Evelyn, searched and we tried to, I mean, obviously there's lots of digital communities for estheticians. There's Facebook groups, and Elizabeth knows very well. We were just talking about Instagram, but we just kind of wanted to find something that was a little bit, I don't want to say anonymous, but just, I guess, less like pictures and less like just people getting down to the brass tacks. So that led us to Reddit, where we found a really cool aesthetics group, which I recommend if you guys join. There's only about 10,000.
I need to get on there because I've had aesthetics friends for years and they're like, oh, I love the subreddit of skincare. And I'm like, I don't even know how to use it.
I know. We need to get on there, Elizabeth.
I really do. Like, TikTok overwhelms me a little bit because it's a lot of like fast-paced things. And I don't know if I get a little sensory overload or whatever. It's like I have to jump off after a few minutes and then kind of get back on like days later. But like reading text and stuff, I'm totally okay with that.
It's much easier than TikTok. And I love TikTok, don't get me wrong. But if you're not consumed by it by now, I recommend don't, because my attention span has depleted completely.
Yeah, it just goes all to that, I'm sure.
Yes. So we just kind of went through this Reddit and, you know, obviously the topic of this episode is specialties and choosing how to pick the best career that you want. So we did a little searching and found a few questions that got brought up a couple of times. So we just thought it would be fun to bring them here and hopefully we'll be using this Reddit all season long, because I really do love this Reddit and some of the memes I find are amazing, just because it's easier because you don't have a picture. You just have a handle and it's just people, it's just vibes.
It's just vibes. Really is. It's all the vibes. Yeah.
Okay. So the first question is, which we kind of covered it a little bit, but if there's anything you guys left out, what is the best advice you can give a recent graduate on choosing a specialty?
Learn all your basics first, and truly your basics. I mean, your skin typing, anything like that. You may have an idea in school, especially with just all the options that you see online now. I mean, that you're like, oh yes, that is exactly what I'm going to do. If you can actually be a demo model for things, I did that a lot early on when I didn't have a whole lot of money and really wanted to test things out. I was there I was like, do you need a demo model? I'll be a demo model. I'll come in and let you try things on my face. And there was things I definitely found I was like, absolutely not. I'm never doing that. And then things I was like, I want to explore that a little bit more. And then you're probably going to find things that you get into. And I would try to practice as much as you can before implementing them full time into your practice, because I've had a lot of people who didn't realize the burnout rate of what they were doing, especially with things like permanent makeup. Saw it a lot. They were like, I didn't realize that, you know, and that's not really in the aesthetics community, but it is kind of a subset of that, because a lot of estheticians are kind of getting into that field. But they were like, I didn't realize just how emotionally taxing that was. And, you know, even things like eyelashes, that was such a huge industry when I first got in. I tried it was not for me.
No.
It's like, this is way too tedious, but I knew people that did it all day long and loved it. But then I knew the people who did it for years and they were like, I am so burnt out by this now.
So that's just like eyelash services in general or just people mm-hmm. who like just specialize in like extensions?
Yes. Like so extension. Like getting a specialty, getting into it. And then they're like, I am so overdoing this. I want to try something else. And that's not unusual. Yeah. You may change your approach three different times in a year, in 2 years, you know, it's just, it is what it is. But yeah, I'd say don't get all consumed with what you're seeing online, because a lot of that too is even just for the gram itself. Like standardly, a lot of times we don't do all of those things in the service. It's just, it's a little bit unnecessary sometimes, but I'll get questions from new graduates and they're like, we only went over sanitation and facials and waxing in school. I don't understand why we didn't learn dermaplaning and this whatever. And I was like, that's standard. That's
yeah,
that is your coursework. You have to know how to do all of those to do all the advanced protocols. Mm-hmm. And it's not up to the school to teach you those things. Usually you have to go there after. Now some have implemented it because there's just a demand for it, but there's not a reason you have to learn all of those things when you're in school either.
Safety first.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
What about you, Lauren?
It is true. I mean, it is true. I have a client of mine who's currently in aesthetic school, and she's kind of mentioned the same thing. Like, they're learning very basic stuff. And she's like, I feel like when I come here, and I've been coming here for all of my services, like, we've done her fibroblasts, we've done her facials, I do her waxing. Like, she's kind of tried everything with me. She's like, I feel like I am not going to be prepared coming out of school because I've had all these things done by you, and yet I have learned, like, none of these things, you know, in school. And I always have to tell her same thing, like you have to just learn the basics and then take that and kind of go with it. When you come out, you're already going to be overwhelmed as it is. So just kind of hone in on like a few things and then kind of learn from there. If you learn too much at once, kind of like Elizabeth said, you get burnt out or you're not really sure where you're going to go. I mean, it can be a lot for new graduates. So I would say my best advice is just do your research. Just kind of hone in on like those few little things to start and perfect those things first. And then from there, you can kind of add on and kind of see like what you want to do. But don't try to do like, you know, don't have a service menu of like 30 different things, you know, all up front. That, because again, the burnout rate is true. Like, I mean, I went to school with like 20 people and I feel like there's only like two or three of us that are still even doing aesthetics.
I think that's a higher rate than what my class is at this point. I mean, I think there's maybe two of us that are actually working.
Yeah, there may only be, I see myself and one other, there may be another one, but I just felt like because of that, and I just think that everybody just kind of got so overwhelmed and this industry has just grown over the past couple years. I feel like it wasn't as overwhelming when we came out of school 10 plus years ago as it is now. Like these girls feel like they have to just keep up with everything with, you know, and all these different services. Oh, I've got to have hydrofacial and I've got to have this facial and this facial and this facial. And I've got to do permanent makeup and I've got to do lashes and I've got to do microblading. And you just can't overwhelm yourself. You just can't.
And some of the best advice that I don't know if it was a client, I don't know if it was my mother. I really don't remember who it was that said, they were like, you cannot be all things to all people.
Yeah.
And I think that was more into the like making every client happy, but it also pairs well with this is that you're not going to be everybody's everything. And kind of reverting back to kind of how I have that network of people in my back pocket. So that if I'm like, this is something that I'm just never going to take on as a service, even though my clients are like, please, I trust you. You do it well, blah, 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 yada, yada. I know. I understand. But I have vetted these people. They're amazing. Go see them. You're not going to be everybody's everything. It's not physically possible. You're going to end up wasting a lot of money trying to do that too. If that's what really ticks you, you know, more than anything, you're going to be spending a ton. And especially like certification courses have just gotten so expensive. Mm-hmm. And because the specialties are getting better and the coursework is getting better, but it is a lot of money up front. And so you really have to know that that's something that you're going to keep working with. And I also have to like put in the note just because of some of the boards and stuff that I'm on, like make sure that you can legally do the specialty in your state. That is usually the one thing that people don't check first. because a certifier is not necessarily going to know all the legalities because they may mm-hmm. be from a different state or something like that. It's not up to them. It's up to you as the therapist to make sure that your license is covered to do that, or you have a medical delegation to do mm-hmm. that service. So just know your laws and things like that too. That'll help you a ton because I see that happen so much.
Especially right now, because everybody wants to do all, you know, dermaplaning, microneedling, even for me with fibroblast, there's just certain things. And I'm like, they have to fall in place. You have to have these things.
The second question I had was, what do you guys think? Obviously we touched a little bit, but there's always a new trend popping up, a new specialty. What do you think is like the it specialty right now? You know, the most popular one.
I think I've seen a lot of the advanced facial massage techniques, whether it's gua sha, the buccal, you know, type massage, the intermuscular inside the mouth, which again, please double check if you're allowed to even like put your hands in their mouth, because I really don't want you getting popped for something as silly as that, you know? It does feel really amazing because I had a massage therapist do one on me. I have really bad TMJ. Yeah, I have seen that a lot for like restructuring the face. I think it started a lot in Korea, some of the Asian countries where they do a lot of that really,
really intense,
deep, massage. Yes, and deep, yeah. deep. Like, I mean, they will call it like
it a feels full
face restructuring. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I need all of that. But it looks so good, like watching people's videos, like doing it. And I'm like, oh my God, it looks so relaxing.
I know. I would say like lymphatic drainage too, because that's what I was going to say. Because mm-hmm. majority of my clients, when I'm doing their massage, like I'm focusing more on like lymphatic drainage and draining everything. Like just these different, like you said, different massage techniques.
Dermaplaning has been a treatment mm-hmm. for a while, but I think now with just the visual aspect, it's really blown. Mm-hmm. Like I get people to ask, like I don't even have to talk about it like I used to.
They just ask
for it.
I mean, when you can like buy those, like, not, I don't want to call them because they're not what you guys use, but those.
But it's different. And I have to tell people that it's very different. Yeah. It's not the same as that little.
We had an event on Saturday and we were like, I was swapping story because I was doing a demo on someone and they were doing a live and I was doing her dermaplane and then going into a facial treatment. Because it's always such a popular demo, like people watching it because they're like, that is mm-hmm. so exciting. Yeah, I had a client who, and it's always the ones in the medical field because they think they can get away with it. But they were like, yeah, I bought, you know, either some little blades or a little whatever and tried to do my own at home because I thought, oh, this is easy. I can do it. And they were like, I looked like I got into a fight afterwards.
Yeah, it's harder. It's harder than you think.
And it's yes. yes. I'm like, I've done it to myself too.
I nicked myself the other day. Yeah.
Cause, and then they were sitting there watching it. They're like, oh, you really have to think about what you're doing. I was like, I'm using a blade on your face.
Yes, it's intense. we just make it look so good for videos.
I was like, this is years and years of practice. Yeah, okay. I mean, that's all that is.
Moral of the story, leave it to the professionals.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the same thing with any specialty too. I mean, you watch them and you're like, oh, that looks so easy and so effortless. I'm like, they have probably practiced 9,000 hours for that one photo or video or whatever that they're doing. It's just, and we all had our first day mm-hmm. as well.
We did.
Our first client. Have mm-hmm. clients that love you too, if you're going to be practicing anything, because so many of mine were like, I trust you, whatever you want to do to my face, just try it. And I'm like, bless you. I love you. Please don't sue me.
Just go with all of it. Hi, how are you? Don't sue me.
Oh, permanent cosmetics is one of the best ones because I had my mom. She is always my top model because I know that one, she will likely not sue me for anything, but two, likely. I like rarely can do anything to mess up her face because it's like Teflon. But doing permanent cosmetics, like she was one of my first clients then. And then like I had clients that I was already seeing at the spa. They're like, girl, you're training on that. Do you need someone? Do you need someone to like test that on? I was like, why do you trust me so much when I've never even held like a device to do, like I'm tattooing your face. And then she's like, I just trust you. I'm like, okay.
Which is good.
Thank you.
I mean, it's good, but that's pressure.
Yes.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I still have a picture of me like doing her eyebrows like to this day. I need to repost that.
Throwback. Yeah.
Throwback.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the third segment that we have for today's episode is a game, which we have to do, I think, legally at this point. It's very simple. It's a this or that. We've touched on a few things. So we can do quick responses. And then if we want to speak on it a little bit more after we go through the rounds, we can. Okay. But I just want your knee-jerk reactions. All right?
Okay.
So this or that. Specialty edition. Eyebrow or eyelash services?
Eyelash.
Brows. Brows. All day long.
Team brow, team lash. Yeah. All right. For hyperpigmentation treatment, which is better, chemical peels or lasers?
Chemical peels.
Yeah, I was gonna say peels. I'm like I work with lasers now, but
yeah,
peels is still my top tier.
We love acne.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this one's a little interesting, Lauren. I want to know what you think about this one.
I feel like I know the answer already.
Sugaring or waxing?
Well, while I do both, I will say I'm still gonna say waxing.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about you, Elizabeth?
Waxing, although I don't do a ton now, mostly facial, but like I do so much laser hair removal now that I'm like, can't we just laser this off, please? I don't want to wax it anymore. It's so much faster. No, obviously not everybody's a candidate for that, but you know, so I still have my handful of people that get their Brazilians or their leg waxing or, you know, anything. But I'm like, can we please just blast this off with a laser? Like,
I still love like hair removal though. It's something about it. It's so satisfying.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Do you still have to look at the strip every time you take it off? Or
oh, every time I take hair off. Yeah. It's still like so satisfying to me. Like
I'm like, even 11 years in and I'll like rip out that like nose one. That's my favorite one, the nose. And it looks like a little porcupine.
I always show clients too.
I know. Like, and I'm like, look at it. And they're like, please stop assaulting me with that.
But I want them to see like what we got. Cause I'm like, this is why you come. This is why you do this. Don't you want to see? Like,
I'm the weirdo that would like, I would break it down. I'm like, okay, do you see this follicle right here, how it's white? And then this one is like dark. And like, this one means that it's really active and that's great. And that's probably why it hurt a little bit more. But oh my God. And they're like,
you're going to get a whole lesson.
I realized I was going to get like a science lesson while I'm just trying to get a Brazilian, you know? I'm like, that was such a good pull. Do you want to see? And they're like, no, thank you.
It's for their own good.
I love it.
It's for their own good. All right. The last one. Which is just, I guess, the preference of terminology. So do you guys prefer using the term age management or mature skin treatment?
I don't think anybody likes to be called mature. Unless it's like...
Yeah, I say age management.
In a like...
Yeah, it just is better terminology, I think, age management.
Yeah. I've never heard a woman or like, yes, I love being mature. It's like... Unless you're in your teens and you're like, yes, I'm totally mature. Like, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I am Michelle, an adult. Michelle hates the term mature skin. So I think that's funny. She says that the better choice is to say sophisticated skin. Yes. So that's
well, it's kind of like I use the term challenge skin when somebody is like presenting with just a lot because they apologize when they come in, which I think is so upsetting. And that's like a whole nother podcast that we could probably get into too. But basically they're like, I am so sorry that you have to deal with all of this on my face. I'm like, listen, this is my jam. I love this.
This is what we're here for.
Yeah. Like, do you think we love working on like normal, just nothing going on skin? That's boring. Like I will, because they probably have a little something going on. Everybody does, depending on the day, the time, the month, whatever. But like, I love the challenge skin. I want that skin. That's how we see the biggest improvement overall.
How often are you guys just getting normal skin?
It's still a rarity because most people that are coming in know that they have something going on. Even if they say they don't, they're like, there's still something in their skin that
there's always like, something to treat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, good to know. I always like hearing you guys talk because it gives me like a little insider information. So I really appreciate it
so much.
I'm very excited for this whole season. I'm just like, I'm gonna be like, I'm practically licensed now, but I'm not. I'm gonna put that out there. I don't actually think that, guys.
Yeah. You'll be there by, you know, default one day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I could talk you through a service. I just can't do it.
I just can't do it. I can tell you all about it.
Wow. Thank you so much for joining. That is all we have for today. But I know that you guys are busy. And for you guys that don't know, we're filming this on a very early Monday morning. And that means busy schedules to plan for the week. But, mm-hmm. you know, you guys have so much good information, especially just kind of choosing your specialty. You're kind of tackling your career at that point, right? You're putting a hat on it and saying, you know, this is what I do.
Yeah.
So to hear that you guys just didn't, you know, you didn't graduate and you were like, you know what I'm going to do. All right. Well, I will leave it at that. Thank you for listening to our first episode. And if you want to learn more about Lauren Elizabeth, please go follow them on their Instagram handles. And we will make sure to put it in the description of today's episode so that you guys get the spelling right. But please go follow them because obviously they know exactly what they're talking about. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Aesthetic Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. If you love the show, leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and tell all your SD besties to give us a listen. And don't forget, the education doesn't stop here. The Aesthetic Report is one of many platforms offered by Dermascope. Visit dermascope.com for more education and industry news from the Authority on Professional Skincare. Stay tuned, and we'll see you next time for another episode of The Aesthetic Report.